This is Michelle Page Holmes, author of Counting Stars, and you're listening to the LDS Women's Book Review Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of LDS Women's Book Review. I'm Shanda, here with
Sheila.
And Hillary.
And our special guest,
Michelle.
Miss Michelle is Michelle Page Holmes, author of Counting Stars. She is here to talk about her book that we love, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we want to talk about what's new, and we're going to plow right through this so we can get to the book, because we really want to talk about it. First things first, if you checked the website recently, you know that Hillary had her baby.
Yay!
2 weeks ago.
Finally!
She's much happier.
Oh, yes. Much more comfortable, too.
Harrison's a cutie. He was a good-sized baby. Any details you want to tell us?
8, 9, 20 inches, so average-sized baby. Very cute.
Couple days early?
He was actually a week early, yeah, 7 days.
Well, so. Technically, but he looked
overdue.
Yeah. He was very wrinkled.
He was, and pruny and stuff. Yeah, he was a little overbaked. But I'm quite happy it didn't come into August.
Well, and you're happy you didn't have him on the freeway.
That was close. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot about that.
Didn't he have him like 3 minutes after you got to the
hospital?
Five minutes after you got to the hospital.
Yeah, we barely made it. Yeah. Again. Again. I can't believe that happened again.
Oh, well. They come when they, trust me, I know. I
love Yeah.
They come when they want to. Or when your body is finally sick of them and kicks them out.
I think that's probably more
Which
what
Which I
was.
Think is what happened with me. I think Riley would have been happy to stay in there the whole time. But my body, after a week past due date, said,
that's good. We're
You're
done.
Good. Time to go out. I hope that doesn't mean I have to kick him out when he's 30. Go find a wife. Uh-huh. New on the website, we added a blog, LDSWBR blog. I don't quite know why, but it felt right. So we're doing it, and it's a way for us to keep in touch with the listeners in between podcasts, since apparently we need to do more of them, and we're working on that. We have to work out some technical things so that we can more easily bring you more podcasts, because it's hard for all three of us to get together, so we might have to do it remotely a little, but we'll let you know how that goes. We'll update you in a little bit.
Which I am excited for that. I'm the one that's to drive the furthest.
Yeah,
so.
Hillary has to drive the furthest. Also, I added a new poll on the website if you want to go and vote for your favorite kind of chocolate. I don't know why. Just sounded like a fun poll to do. So, going so far, chocolate with peanut butter is winning.
Yay! Are you serious?
Yes.
I haven't looked at it. Yeah, what are my choices?
I know there's some fun ones. On there, there's like nut clusters and mint, which is my personal favorite, and caramel scented.
See, that would be mine. Me too.
Yeah, caramel. However you say it.
Don't matter. It tastes good either way.
Yeah, it sounds nice either way too. Anyway, so go and vote for your favorite kind of chocolate. There's even a no thanks option if you don't like chocolate.
Which we don't understand.
I just wanted to see. It's an experiment. I know that there are people who don't like chocolate out there.
I know. I've met
a few. I'm not one of them. So I'd like to just know
if
you're out there. So if you don't like chocolate, go vote. So we know you
We
exist.
Won't hold it against you either, maybe.
We won't know who you are.
You can't enter our contest if you don't
No, you're safe from mean Hillary. We won't know who you are, so you can vote. Vote in anonymity.
I won't toilet paper your house. Although my mom did bring 24 rolls of toilet paper over the other day, so...
That's exciting news!
Okay, I don't even know why that's in here. Okay. Anyway. The second to the last piece of news I have is I have found 3 new reading blogs. One of them is on our homepage, ldsreaders.blogspot.com. And then I found out, I can't even remember how, about another one, www.blogginaboutbooks.blogspot.com. So blogging about books, but without the A. Blogging about books. Anyway, she has a long list of other book blogs on her website. So you can go find, I know there's just a ton of them. So you'll find your next read pretty easily there. And then the other one I wanted to mention is the Deliciously Clean Reads blog at cleanreads.blogspot.com. And I went and checked it out and I noticed that I didn't see any LDS fiction. At least nothing that I recognized immediately as LDS fiction. It's, you know, just national type fiction, but it's clean.
Interesting.
So I'm interested to see what those books are like. I want to read some just to see if it's the same standard of clean as we would think. But it seems so far like it is. There's a lot of interesting books that I scanned through on her first page that caught my interest. So
We'll see. You will have all these links on our
Yep, I'll add them to the links. I might even put them on the homepage. I don't know. We'll see. But they'll be there. And also, we wanted to talk about the contest that we've been talking about forever and ever and ever. We decided on the rules for the contest.
It only took us 3 months. I know, but, you know, we got around to it.
I believe that we'll start on the 12th, which is Sunday, since we're recording on the 11th. So I want to get it up on Sunday because my husband goes out of town again. So I want to make sure that it's up before he leaves because he's the one that does all that. Anyway, so starting August 12th until November 10th at midnight mountain, whatever time we'll be on, because we're going to have a time change. 11:59 on November 10th. Anyway, you guys are smart. The listeners are smart. They'll figure it out. Anyway, the contest is for one of hopefully two sets. I'm working to see if we can get two copies of House of Secrets signed by Jeff to go with his copies of Dead on Arrival that he gave us to give away. So that you can, there's two sets of the Chandra Cumming Mystery series that he has out. I'm working on that. They make good Christmas gifts if you want to try and win them for a Christmas gift, but I don't know who'd want to give them away.
I wouldn't.
I'd give my own House of Secrets.
You know what? I know. Found one.
Where?
Over at the Desert Book Outlet. Sorry, Jeff. Oh. But hardcover for
really?
A very reasonable price. So, but that that was about a month ago, so I don't know if they still have them. But check it out.
Anyway, so you can win one of two sets of House of Secrets and Dead on Arrival signed.
And those
by
will be
Jeff.
Autographed, yeah.
Anyway, the ways to enter are number one, send us an email with feedback. Because we really want to hear from you.
Unless it's about scrapbooking.
Just kidding.
She's sleep deprived.
I am a little sleep deprived.
Number two, send us an email telling us how you found out about us. And if you were referred by someone specifically, say a friend or a family member, and they wouldn't mind you giving us their name and address, we can put you and whoever referred you in for the drawing. Send us an email telling us how many people you've told about the website podcast. Now, this is on your honor. With your hand on a pile of LDS fiction books. Anyway, tell us how many people you have told about the podcast and the website, and that will get you an entry into the contest. Leave a comment on the website, on a book, a feature of the website. Use common sense here. The comment should be in regards to where you're commenting. Yeah, you guys are very smart. I know you can figure this out. But if you leave a comment, it will ask you for your email address, but nobody can see it but me. And I'm not going to do anything with it, except for to contact you if you win. So don't worry about that. Your privacy is protected. Join the mailing list. If you already are on the mailing list, sorry. You're not automatically entered this time. Only new people on the mailing list get to have their names entered. And lastly, you can join the forum and post. Due to spammers, I have closed registering on the forum. All you need to do is email me, and I'll get you signed up. So it's pretty easy. Just email me and let me know you want to join the forum. And there hasn't been any conversation on the forum for a while, but we'll...
I'm talking to myself on the forum. It's not a lot of fun! So someone please come and talk to me.
We'll see if we can get some conversation started.
That would be very nice.
But anyway, just another... another way. So there's, what, six ways there?
Okay, will you be listing these anywhere on the website?
Yes, I will. I mean, you can find all the contest information on the website, so you can find that there if you have any questions. But with six ways to enter, we better be getting entries. And I want to hear feedback, so let me know. I don't care if it's, you know, be nice if it's bad, but we do want to know if there's something you're unhappy with, because we definitely would like to take care of it. We want to make sure that your listening experience is an enjoyable one. Anyway, so... then a future contest idea. I wanted to run this past you guys and tell me what you think.
What? I know, and I'm nervous.
My husband gave me this idea last night.
Oh, well, it should be calm if it's from Mark.
It's a podcast trivia. I think that in the future I think we'll have a question from like the beginning, the middle, and the end of a podcast. Like you answer three questions. If you answer all three questions right, you get an entry. You know, just different.
That's a good idea.
We have enough podcasts now that you can do that.
I just think that's fun.
That would be fun.
We don't have anything to give away for that yet, but...
We'll come up with something.
Pay attention, because you never know when you might need it. If you don't want to re-listen to the podcast, then...
Take notes,
you know,
by all means.
Or something. Okay, so that is all of the news. All right, let's move on to recent reads then. Sheila. I know what you're going to talk about.
Yes, if you read the blog, I stated it there...
I received my copy of Deathly Hallows, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, on the day that it came out. And within 11 hours and 15 minutes, I had read the whole book. Absolutely loved it. Was happy about everything that happened, basically, you know, here and there. But we won't talk about it yet. Michelle's going, la, 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 I don't want to know. But I am reading it again, just a little bit slower this time, a chapter here, a chapter there, just because it's a fun experience.
Because you went through it so quick the first time?
Yes, exactly. I also finished Fablehaven 2, The Rise of the Evening Star. Excellent. Oh.
How did you like it compared to the first?
You know what? They're all basically the same characters, but it's amazing what he has written in this second book. How he can just take this storyline and just create so many new things happening. But I almost liked it better than the first one.
Yeah?
Absolutely loved
it. I still need to read the first one. It's on my list of things to read.
Excellent. They're so good. And there are some scary things for kids. I mean, I don't think I'd let my 5-year-old listen to this story. I mean, there are some scary things here and there in both of the books. But, I mean, anyone 8 and up can handle it, probably, or 10 and up, depending upon what you have exposed your children to. Let's put it that way. You know, as far as monster things go. Exactly. That would probably be a good factor.
Or Lord of the Rings or anything like that.
But, excellent. So, if you want to read another great book, Fablehaven 2. I am in the process right now. I started last night, Twilight by Stephanie Meyer.
Are you seriously that far into it, or is that just
last night? That's as of last night.
That's how far
I started at 7 o'clock last night.
I read
on
it
page.
In probably, maybe 4 or 5 hours.
So, see?
Really?
See, if I didn't have to go to bed last night, I probably would have been finished. And if I wasn't here right now, no, just kidding, I would be reading. No, excuse me right now during the podcast, I'll just read my book. I'm on page 300.
I need to take your book away from you.
Yes, yes, that was my other blog.
Twilight by Stephanie Meyer.
Yes, I'm on page 337, by the way. So.
Wow, that's impressive. I have that one from the library. It's over there waiting for me.
Excellent.
To just got it the other day.
Michelle, you said you liked it just...
I did. I just opened it and I'm looking at the page and I'm like, oh, this is a really good page.
Oh, you know, the relationship.
Romantic tension.
Is just, oh, that romantic tension.
To a T, yes.
Yes.
Without crossing really any boundaries that are bad. No,
well, I agree.
Who was the publisher?
Little Brown.
Okay.
So, big time. She's the big time.
Well, and she graduated from BYU.
She did.
So I was surprised by that. I didn't even... But she lives, in Arizona, I believe, is what I read on her blog. And do you want to talk about the other two books in the series? After Twilight, there is...
There's New Moon, and the last one is Eclipse. I haven't read Eclipse yet. My daughter has read it, though. We just got it a couple days ago.
What did she think? I heard someone read the third book, and they said they didn't like it quite as much as the first two, but did your daughter say...
She thought it was the best of the three.
Okay. See, you know, it's always just that personal thing, you know, what might affect you as you're reading it.
A lot of people didn't like New Moon as much. My friend Luann is a teacher, a middle school teacher, and she said a lot of her students did not like New Moon as much because Edward is not in this one. They're separated for a while. But I really liked it. I love the way that she portrayed kind of the sadness and things that Bella goes through in this one. So I liked it just as much. And they're together at the end again. So
yeah, they're just such good books. And you wouldn't think that a romance
about a vampire.
Well, and they're teenagers. Right.
Well, she is. She's 17, but she does not seem 17. She's very mature 17. And of course, Edward is 100 and whatever years old.
Born in 1901. But he looks like he's 17.
See, that is just so interesting to me, because I'm not...
I don't know, I'm having a hard time with that.
I absolutely hate anything having to do with vampires, but this...
Like the whole Anne Rice
thing,
all that
stuff.
Never
done it. Changing my viewpoint.
Yeah, I did not want to read this at all. I was just, dragging my feet. I just barely read these, a week or two ago, and then I read this one day, went and bought this the next, and then this came out this week. But, within a couple pages, I was just hooked.
You are hooked.
Yeah, I did actually thought it was nothing that interested me at all, and I loved it.
I totally agree.
See, that will probably be where I'm at, because I'm kind of, okay, what's the big deal with this book?
That's why I need to read this to figure out what is so popular, what's so great about it.
And that's what I like about this podcast and the book blogs. You kind of hear about books that you probably wouldn't have picked up. I would never, Twilight with a Vampire, I would have just turned my nose and went, nah.
I wouldn't have bothered either.
It's all the rage right now. It's all I'm hearing right now is Twilight.
It is fabulous.
It's very, very good. Characters. I mean, there is the romantic tension between the two main characters, but Bella, for me, was just very human. Someone you could relate to. And I think that's why I sound like they're talking to my neighbor, she's a real person, and we know her. And so that's when an author's done
really good. Oh, I love that.
That is a good sign of a good author.
Especially if you've got this fantasy element in there and you still believe it and you still, it's not very real to you.
And that's very important to me. I need to be able to feel like I know this person or that, you know, it wouldn't be a stretch to know somebody like that.
I could relate to her clumsiness.
Was there another one besides Twilight that you read?
You know, that's about it.
What?
Between reading...
What?
Well, between reading Deathly Hallows
Your stack
twice,
usually looks like this, Erin.
And Fable Haven and Twilight. Well, we had a few vacations here and there, but I wanted to show you what I found last weekend.
Oh, that's pretty.
This is a children's book, and I found
this
when we went up to the dinosaur park up in Ogden. Mm-hmm. It's called I Dreamt I Was a Dinosaur, and it's by Stella Blackstone and Claire Beaton. And if you would realize how many dinosaur books I have.
I have a lot.
Like, I know, you know, you've seen when I do my dinosaur units, how many books. And I was like, oh, I don't have a dinosaur book. This one I don't have. But I love this one because of the illustrations.
Cute. I was going to say,
let me
cool.
show you what is so, I just thought this was, and I'm going to be doing this when I do my dinosaur unit. We're going to be making these dinosaurs. I mean, it's a basic storyline of a little girl that just, you know, is dreaming about different dinosaurs. But look at the illustrations. The dinosaurs are made out of felt. And
have that cool stitching around the end.
Yes, they've
blanket
stitched
stitching.
Around it,
blanket
and they've
stitching.
Used sequins, and they've used rickrack, and all sorts of fun things. But
it's adorable.
I loved it.
I dreamt I was
Absolutely
a dinosaur. You should
it.
Have seen me romp and roar.
Isn't that cute?
Says, oh, those are so cute.
All kinds of creatures lived with me. Do you want to meet them? Come and see.
Oh, how much
I mean,
fun
it's the illustrations
is.
Here.
And that would be so much
book.
Fun to do.
I know my
kids
daughter
would that be great?
Love
oh, yeah.
to do that.
So that's why I thought, you know, I had to have the book. So we go... I saw it first in the education center, and then we go into the gift store. My kids are right around, I want this, I want this. And I grab the book, and he turns to my husband, I want this. He just shakes his head.
He goes, one more book. He doesn't say no to you.
Well,
when it comes to books, he knows better. And especially with children's books, because, you know, I
it's
probably really have...
It's a tax write-off, right?
That's yeah. right.
It is. It really is. And, you know, I probably have over 1,500 children's books,
you
if
do.
Not more.
Wow.
I've never actually counted all of my boxes of books downstairs.
No.
I do. They're just...
But the kids love them all.
They
yeah,
are.
You have some really good kids' books. That's why you're in charge of the children's literature
yes,
section.
Yes, that is true. But I just thought this would be great, so when I do my dinosaur unit, I can come and then
that's
we can
really
look
cute.
At this and then make our own little dinosaurs.
I want that one.
So.
That's funny.
But I just wanted to show you guys that, so if you want to go to the library and see if they have it there. But it's by... It says it's a Barefoot Books Celebrating Art and Story. Barefootbooks.com.
Barefoot Books?
Mm-hmm.
Like B-A-R-E.
Yeah, B-A-R-E-F-O-O-T. Barefootbooks.com.
Okay, great.
So,
I really like that. That's a fun style.
That was
book.
My little present for my trip.
Well, I was going to go to Hillary, but she had to step away for a second. So I guess I'll talk about the books I've read. I have a huge amount of books waiting to read. I've only actually read a few. The two that I've read, and Hillary would be so... proud of me. Nonfiction.
Oh.
I read
oh
nonfiction.
Heavens. Look at that.
One was Unplugging Power Struggles, Resolving Emotional Battles with Your Kids Ages 2 to 10.
Here, hand it over.
Yeah,
no.
I need that one. I need that one.
Honestly, I'll tell you really quick.
Okay.
The first half of this book, I was trying not to roll my eyes every page because it was really a lot of common sense. At least for me, anyway. I don't know. Just the way I parent, but the eye-opening thing for me was the last half. It was talking about the things that you can't change and, you know, how not to have unrealistic expectations and don't seek the ideal child or whatever.
Like
but
choosing your battles.
No win situations is eating, sleeping, toileting, attitude, pace, thoughts, emotional response, and temperament. Now, the things that I struggle with are attitude and pace. Those, you know, stop dilly-dallying, you know,
I
distractedness.
I can tell you which child it's you're talking about with each of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've taught both my children.
Yes, I
so,
have.
You know, my girls are really good. They're
they
really
are fabulous.
Good girls.
Yes,
but we
I
still have our
them.
Issues. In fact, mm-hmm. one of our friends that I was talking to,
uh-huh. yes.
did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh, she said, we were at her baby blessing.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
And not that she would care if we mentioned on the podcast. Her name's Michelle also. Anyway.
You're famous now!
Along with all the other 50 million Michelles. I have another friend, Michelle, too. I don't know what it is. It's Michelle. Anyway, so I was talking to her, and my girls were eating in her front room, and I didn't even think a second thought about it. And she said, did you hear so-and-so at the blessing? And I didn't know who she was talking about, and I said no. And this person asked her, do you want those kids eating in the front room? And Michelle said, who? And she looked and said, oh, those girls? I'm not worried about it. And then she said, your girls probably never do anything wrong. They're, you know, your girls are so well behaved. They don't do anything wrong. And I just had to laugh. Well, snort and then laugh because I'm like,
well, maybe it's just in they public. Do.
I said, they I have them well trained. Like I have them well trained. However, we do have the occasional power struggle, but even then, it is not as bad as some I've seen. Right. But
so, you know, overall, what attitude, would you say with this
I
book?
Would say, would you recommend it? Well, the things that, like I said, the first half I was kind of like, okay, well, this is just pretty much common sense, and I don't know if that's experience talking mm-hmm. or if it's just the way I think about it. But the rest was, you know, like letting go of a power struggle, that was something that was a little informative. And, you know, you can't control how your child feels. What they're thinking.
Or change how they're feeling.
Or and if they're, the, my so. Point is my kids, my one child is very distracted, easily distracted. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to, I can't change that. She will always be easily mm-hmm. distracted, especially considering that she has easily distracted parents.
I have one of those.
So what I really need to do is instead of trying to change her from being distracted is give her the tools that she needs to be able to
exactly
work with being distracted. So that was mm-hmm. that was just the main thing I got from it. It's a quick read.
Tell us again who the author is.
Oh, I never even say that. Oh. Jane Fall.
Okay. M-D, so anyway, was that behind
her? M-E-D.
M-E-D.
And then the next one I read that I'm almost done with is the Emotional Intelligence Quick Book. And this was just kind of
what
like
the
a
heck, Shanda?
Quick book.
I know, I know, I told
you,
Hillary.
You went to the nonfiction section?
I did.
She's getting influenced
because,
by
me. Honestly, I'll tell you why. My 9-year-old is like 9 going on 13. And I don't,
that's
I want to go into the.
Yeah, I know, only 13? Wow.
Yeah, we just started. We're just getting there. Now we're kids 10. I don't know what's going to happen. And Michelle's smiling because she has older girls and she
and older
knows what
too.
I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
But girls, I don't know about boys, but girls, I want to make sure that I am not going to do something that will completely destroy the trust that we've worked to build with our girls as they get older. Especially my oldest, because she and I butt heads a lot.
Something
so
there is about that
we're too much alike.
Child.
We're too much alike. And so
maybe the oldest girl, I think, maybe.
The oldest, I'm the oldest girl.
And
family.
I'm
the
oldest,
I'm
the
oldest
girl
oldest.
In mine, too.
I'm not!
I'm the oldest. So,
I am too.
Those were just two things I felt like I needed to read, and I haven't quite finished the Emotional Intelligence Quick Book, but
it's
I do
so
have.
Far. Excuse me, so this is the, so Counting Stars is the only work of fiction that you have read?
I am working on...
I'm sorry, we're just trying to
I'm working
absorb
on the first
this.
Out of Jerusalem.
Yes,
by H.B. Moore. So I'm working on that first one. So far, it's really interesting. It's different. It's good, but it's different reading about Nephi and his family doing, talking normally, and there's bits of scripture and different things in there, and you're just kind of imagining what it could have been like, and it's just a change from what I've normally read, but it's intriguing.
Nephi being born.
It's intriguing. Exactly.
You'll never read the scriptures the same again, I think, after you read that series.
That's what I'm thinking,
so
because
it makes you think a lot about things that you just kind of read up before, mm-hmm. and now you're like,
well, I've always wondered what that, you know, reading the scriptures with my husband, most of the time we can hardly make it through a chapter because mm-hmm. we'd be too busy talking about, well, could you imagine what that would really be like? And I wonder about what they were feeling and what would it be like to have your children in the wilderness with nobody there to really help you and, you know, different things like that. So
well,
without epidurals, but now I know what that's
like. Children's bad behavior if you're
that's
out
right.
there by yourself. That's what I'm thinking. No one could see what they... I'm sorry.
So, I don't know. But it's interesting how, you know, Laman and Lemuel are right now. They're already frustrating me.
But I like...
And I'm only a few chapters into it.
So. I liked the first volume because it made Laman and Lemuel seem human to me. Mm-hmm. They were teenage boys and they're taken mm-hmm. from their home and they were wealthy. I mean, they had mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, a nice home and possessions and things like mm-hmm. that, and I can't imagine my teenagers if I said, hey, we're moving to the desert, and I got that. I never really before mm-hmm. them, and they were just wicked.
Let alone
and
send them off for a two-week one-way, two-week back trip to
right.
go get the records.
Right, and
yeah.
so
and
they're,
their
all of a sudden they're
all
human in the books, and you can kind of see their perspective mm-hmm. and why they were maybe like that. Later on in the series, you're like, okay, you should have figured it out by now. But,
yeah.
But in the beginning, you can see why they were rebelling. And,
well, it's just interesting to step back and view the Book of Mormon and the story behind that, the history of it. In that way.
Okay, so
and
there are four books in the series?
There's three.
Three.
The fourth is coming out in
okay.
September.
The fourth
right here.
Coming
oh, out
we're
not September.
Allowed to look at it. I'm going to show the cover. It's top secret.
You
yep,
have
so.
The fourth in your hand.
Yes, it's good.
The cover looks like the other one's only green. And different picture.
Know.
But it's Land of Inheritance is what it's called, right?
It looks like the
I'm
other
interested.
Ones, it just has different color, different
picture, well,
different
they're
title,
the same
different
format.
Yeah,
like the
same
I know.
Format,
I'm just making sure,
yeah.
That's
yeah, go for it. I'm such an easy target. Okay, anyway, that was my read, Hillary. Your reads?
As you can see, my big tall stack over here.
Oh, nothing. Read.
Look at that.
It's under the invisibility cloak. Look,
I see a gum wrapper.
That is about all I've read over the last
Well, you have a newborn, so I didn't know if you were able to.
Oh, I haven't. I got Heaven Bound from the library, and the cover is very cute. I can tell you that.
That's on my list.
That one looks cute.
What is it? Tell
it's Lynn James is who wrote it, and it's nonfiction, of course. Mm-hmm. Hello. But no, I haven't read anything. I haven't even read a magazine.
I know. That's okay, you're excused.
I'm because like, Michelle this time, has a, but Michelle will definitely make up for me.
Yeah, but we have, you know, you already talked about
stuff
three.
I last, about the physical books.
you've already talked about the three, the Stephanie Meyer.
Right, I want to talk about one more thing with this, though.
Okay, with New Moon?
Yeah, I think we were talking about this earlier before we had the podcast going, about how some books you just relate with.
Yes.
And for some reason with Bella, well, I know why, but with Bella, I just really related to her. But in New Moon, she and Edward are separated for a while. I'll read you this last paragraph, and I'll show you what they do. I thought it was so cool. "It will be as if I never existed," he promised me. "I felt the smooth wooden floor beneath my knees and then the palms of my hands, and then it was pressed against the skin of my cheek. I hoped that I was fainting, but to my disappointment, I didn't lose consciousness. The waves of pain that had only laughed at me before now reared high up and washed over my head, pulling me under. I did not resurface." So that's when he leaves, and then October, November.
Look at that!
I thought that was so cool.
There's just
no other way could she have conveyed what... Anyway, it goes on December, January... and then at waking up. And it talks about the depression and stuff, but you see it. I mean, she really did a great job, I thought, of illustrating true, serious, you know,
I've never
depression.
Seen that before.
That's I had
cool.
it either. That I thought it was really neat. Cool. I loved it. So even though this had a lot of sad parts in it,
that's
something in my life that I could relate to when I had been in that depth
that's understandable.
Of despair.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, they say funny. In the first book, they both look at each other and say they can't live without each other, basically.
Yeah, so
I just rarely read that
Is anyone
part.
Else intrigued? I sure am.
So, I know, I'm like, why a star next to
I
that
think
one?
We've had lots of discussions at our critique about this and stuff, and as writers, of course, we pick everything apart, but personally, I think she deserves the millions that she's getting. I think she did a great job.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Good job, millions.
Yeah, Anyway, okay, this one is Heather's next one. She's also in our critique group.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. What I like, there's something with each of her books that just
with
makes
the
me...
the Jerusalem series.
Right, like I was saying about Laman and Lemuel in the first book. This book, they're in the new world now, and they're, you know, building their homes and everything, and Lehi dies kind of at the beginning, and of course then things start really going downhill with Laman and Lemuel, and eventually the family split. And I had never really thought about that much before, but what happened to Nephi's sisters? To some of Ishmael's sons.
That's a good
and
question.
How did the family get divided? And the women didn't really have a choice. And so that's what this book deals with. And it's heartbreaking.
That sounds good.
Because some really righteous, good people and members of, you know, Lehi's immediate family, the sons and the daughters, were split. And what happened? And then also the other thing she deals with is the curse of, you know, the dark skin that came on them. You know, you ever wonder what happened with
there? That's
so
true.
It was really fascinating.
No, she has a history... And she has the background to be able to write these books.
She does.
Her father is a professor of
ancient religion.
She's lived in Israel.
She was baptized in the Red Sea.
That makes it even more intriguing.
She was baptized in the Red Sea.
Oh my word, that's cool.
Excellent at research, and just these books fascinating.
She's another one I really want to have on the podcast.
Can you tell
her?
We want her to come on and we'll talk about her.
Well,
I can email her too, because I mean, she contacted me about reading those books and talking about them, so I really want to get them read so we can talk about them, maybe, because her book comes out in September, so, and we're reading the other books in September, so maybe in October, I don't know, but head start, you guys have like 3 months, so maybe we can get them read.
I know.
We'll
like,
see.
That's like, that'd be four books. When is that one coming out?
September.
So, let's see, beginning of school for me.
Oh, well,
primary program into September.
Well, September we're reading something else, but October or maybe November.
Oh, I have
maybe we'll do it November as part of our getting ready for Christmas thing. I don't know. We'll see. But I definitely want I need to get through her books first because I want to know what I'm talking about.
I guess if I can read 759 pages in
11 hours, I can manage it.
Okay, and then, you have another,
some
more.
Books. Yeah, I don't have to go through all of them.
Oh, no, you can tell us
some interesting titles.
A couple other previews I'll give you. Jeff is reading his newest Chandra in our critique group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's wonderful.
It is. You know, he has the ability to be, you're laughing hysterically one minute, and then you're scared the next.
Yes.
It's great. And this one is more intense at the beginning. And of course, I was one
of
us. Of
course,
so
because we know how the last one ended.
Well, right, but it doesn't.
We're very frustrated by the
Do
end.
Do we find
I
out?
I was the person that was the most upset with him about the end.
You
I
were?
No, I was. I was
going to
hit him in the face.
She was beating
my book.
She
would have. I was really, really mad. Anyway, Jeff knows that I've bugged him about it for months. But the first couple chapters, at least unless he's changed it, did not deal with Bobby.
You have and got like, to be kidding.
I'm going
to
be in trouble with Jeff. He's going to be like, you're telling things about
I'm
going
to edit it.
Okay, but so how far into the book? Are we talking like chapter three, chapter four before we find out?
Oh, who knows?
No, just, yeah, just not very, just a couple chapters, probably three.
Well, I was just, there were so many pages left in the book that I had no idea I was at the end of the book.
Yep.
Because
yeah,
because
that's
there was
what happened
a,
to me too.
A sample of another
me.
Book in the back. Yeah. So I'm like this, and then I flip it over, and there's like three lines on the last page, and I'm like,
all Jeff does is,
he knows, A,
his
fingers
loves
it. How many people are going to rush out and get his book?
Oh, you're so lucky.
I know.
I want to be part of the
critique. I'll give you one.
I know. How do we get in on
that? I'll give you one little hint that is hysterical. There is a scene, and it does involve Bobby, but it's Shanda's. Shanda, I'm going to say Shanda now. Shandra.
It's close.
Yeah, Shandra is kind of remembering some. She's trying to get herself to cheer up and everything. And anyway, she's remembering a scene of her and Bobby when they were younger. You know, that flashback. Anyway, and it has to do with a maraschino cherry up someone's nose. And that's all I'll say. That's hysterical.
That sounds like Jeff.
So it's very funny. Of course, it'd be food with Shandra.
Oh,
anyway,
that is so funny.
And, yeah, it would
it's
be
good.
Food.
And then we just finished Annette Lyons' latest one that comes out in September also, I believe.
Wow,
so it's
there's
good.
A lot of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyway, it's really, really good. It was really fun, too. We had a lot more humor in it. Yeah, it's kind
of... Oh, good. I still have to... I've read one of hers, and I need to read some more. I have, seriously...
Okay, now, so, I have a question. Is with all these people coming out with all these books, and with the mystery dinner, that's is it in October when they have the mystery dinner?
September, October.
Are you going to be part of that?
I have no idea.
This year?
So I would love to be, but I don't know.
We'll see.
Because I want to know when the tickets come. I want to go this year.
I
care
so much.
I
want to
go. We're going.
Nothing else I want to
go
because I've never gone. So
we're going. And I'm going to see if I'm going to have to contact some people and say, hey, we need to meet with these authors an hour early because. I want to.
You should know.
Because I don't. Uh oh, maybe that's not a good sign.
I want to come like an hour early and have, you know, kind of 5 minutes to talk to each author, you know, and do a podcast that week. I think it would be
line
awesome.
Up for the year.
But,
you
know.
Seriously.
You
that
should.
Would be, that would be awesome.
Well,
that'd
I want
great.
You to at least cover the
okay,
names
really
and titles of the books that
okay,
you.
I'm reading this to my 7-year-old right now, and of course I've read all these long ago.
Adam
Green
Gables.
I've
never
right
read.
Now?
I've never read Adam Green Gables.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I have it. I've only read the
It's cute for the age.
Well, you know, it's she's 7. This is kind of old for her. I have to stop and explain quite a bit, but. Her writing is so beautiful. I don't know in today's market it would fly. We're all just
reading
something really fast.
L.M.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
I
didn't know who wrote Anna
Green she's very descriptive and everything, mm-hmm. But I love it. It's just beautiful. And
yes.
The way she
definitely
describes
clean.
The island.
Yeah,
that's
for
yeah.
sure.
Seasons and everything. I mean, they almost bring tears to the eyes. It's just beautiful writing. So I am thoroughly enjoying reading this to my daughter right
it's
now,
fun.
Which is really fun.
My daughter is
that's
happy
my,
to be reading that one right
she,
now,
she,
too.
Really?
Yes.
That's my children's one. And then I just finished Peter and the Starcatchers, and you guys are talking about that next week.
We're
going
to read Peter
so.
And the Starcatchers and Peter and the Shadow Thieves
so.
In September.
It's fun. It's a really fun read.
I really enjoyed
oh.
it. There's a couple swear words in there, but it's not a big deal. You don't even notice them.
I didn't notice them. That's probably bad that I didn't notice them.
Yeah, there's a dang.
Is
and maybe
it the LDS women's book?
You know what? I'm sorry. If you can't
it's a
handle,
children's book. It's by Disney.
If you can't handle a swear word or two.
We're not, yeah. But
we're I
think not
there is. I remember being surprised. There was like a dang and a heck or something. But it was
but
like.
But it's not explicit.
There's like one or two.
Saying.
And it was just
yeah.
something that I remember going, oh. But then I, you know, I'm not too prudish that way. So I don't really worry about that. I think
kind of a swashbuckling good
it's fun. I love Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson did a great job. Of course, I'm a big fan of Dave Barry, but, you know.
I can't imagine how they wrote it together. That just amazes me. But it is, it's very fun. There's a lot of little undercurrent of humor, too, in some of the thoughts and things. It's kind of
I'm excited to read it. I think it
was
fun.
And what else do you have then?
Okay, this, I was cleaning my son's room and was finding all these library books that I paid for, that we could never locate.
I
yes.
love that. Isn't that
oh,
nice?
I swear,
how
we fund our library.
Spend.
It's bad.
Yes.
It's really bad.
Yes.
Anyway, this one, I started reading it because it looked interesting. It's by Anne Rinaldi, and I hadn't even heard of her before.
An Acquaintance
she,
with Darkness?
She's, yeah, this is a YA, and she has lots of books that are historical fictions, and they're all about different time periods in history. This is about the Civil War.
No.
And I just sat down when I was cleaning, and this is how much I read, just like that.
Just that
so,
fast.
Oh, that's
yeah,
interesting.
I couldn't put it down. I didn't finish my cleaning, so.
So you read the whole thing then?
No,
that
I'm just
great.
Right there with that book because
okay.
I read
we
lots
know,
of books at the same
time. We know this book.
Okay, now I picked this one up because you guys always talk about how Dorothy Kennington is your favorite author. Mm-hmm. I thought I have to read something of her, so I just
Ashley
started Meyer. This. Yeah, I just started this last night on the bus, on youth conference bus, and didn't get very far because it was a lot of youth and it was noisy, but I was loving it. It was really, really good.
Did you listen to our podcast when we talked about
it? A long time ago, yeah.
So you'll have to go back and listen to it again after you read it.
This is a good book, but it's not my absolute favorite. But it's really good. My absolute favorite, of course, is Jayhawk. But she wrote that back when wearing pink and burgundy together were in style.
No, he had a polyester burgundy suit.
It was something like that. But if you can get past the description of some of the clothes, that's it. That's the only part that stands out. The rest is really, it's timeless. It's really, really good. I like it. There's some good romantic tension and stuff in there, too.
She is
a pro at
romantic tension.
That's what you guys said, so yeah. I gotta read this. So.
Her books are older. Now, this one's fun, but I'm in love with anything Ireland, so that endears it to me right there.
Ireland and Scotland.
Oh, Chrissy Pinkston. I haven't been able to read any of hers.
Okay, I met her when I went to the LDS Storymakers Conference in March. Uh-huh. And I went to her class, and she taught a class on voice, and it was fabulous. It was really, really good. And so I got this book, and it's on World War II. It's about that.
What's it called?
It's about a family that lives in Germany.
What's the title?
Called Strength to Endure. And I've been reading it and clipping along and really enjoying it. And then she did The Unforgivable to the main character. And I'm like, I totally did not expect that. So if Trish is listening, she's going to be like, thanks for talking about my book. But I haven't emailed her. I was going to send her like a scathing email like I said to Jeff. Like, why did you do that? But I was just so shocked. And so now I really need to read it because I'm like, how are you going to finish this book and have me like it still when you have this girl that I've followed since she was 10? And so I'm kind of...
Ooh, that sounds great. That's really interesting.
And that's kind of how I felt when I was near the end of this.
I know. I'm
sorry. Yeah, we want to talk about that.
I don't know, unless she pulls off a miracle, because this girl was in a concentration camp. So anyway, it was one of those books, when I got to that part and I put it down, I was like feeling kind of depressed.
Were you kind of have to take a break for a little bit and come back?
But that's a good... Okay. When you read World War II books, they're like that.
So you are like me, I'm thinking, that you have several books that you're reading at the same time.
Mm-hmm. See?
I did that too.
Okay, I just don't always do fiction.
Okay. But then I'll pick up like a Twilight, though, and forget everything else.
Exactly. See, that's, I know, that's... These look really good, so the character goes back into time and major,
this is the...
That is her time period.
You're talking about Anne Rinaldi again, in Acquaintance of
Listen to the back of this.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Warning, this is a historical novel. Read at your own risk. The writer feels it necessary to alert you to the fact that you might enjoy it.
Oh, it looks wonderful.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was very... I was enjoying it a lot. So.
Well, you have one more here that looks awful thick.
Familiar.
And very familiar.
And Sheila is probably kind of like, I don't know. Not one of her favorite authors.
No, it isn't.
It's different to read.
It's Jane Austen.
Language and you have to get into it. Yeah, I carpool. My kids all go to charter schools, and I drive.
I can have that. It's funny, too.
I was so crabby last year. I thought, I just got to do something so that, because the carpool is like, Mm-hmm. So I bought this is my splurge. I bought this for myself. It has all the volumes of Jane Austen that I read. This is just my carpool book. It's kind of beat up because it's in my car all the time. But I read Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Those are the two I like.
Skip Mansfield Park. Okay.
Trust me.
Anyway, so I'm going to start again on one of those when
Emma's
school starts
good.
Again.
Emma's
so
going to read.
And that changed my attitude about carpool. I would look forward to it because I get to sit there and read for,
I had a book I kept in my car, too, that was a nonfiction that I owned because I didn't want to have a library book stuck in my car. you sit in the parking lot and you wait for half hour, and then you got to drive to the other school.
Well, that's exactly my life.
I used to do a lot of reading when I drive my girls to dance class because they'd have, I'd have two on Mondays, but they were at different times. One was during the day, one was in the evening, and then another one on Wednesday night, and I would not want to drive 20 minutes to get there, come home, and then
drive again.
I'd come home and get right back. So I'd just sit out there and wait for them, and I would get a lot of reading done that way. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore, so that's probably why I'm struggling.
That is
anyway.
One good thing about carpool.
Exactly. It makes you read.
And I was thinking about what it was I liked about these so much, and she is mostly dialogue and inner thoughts. If I could just write a book I wanted to, it would just be all dialogue and inner thoughts. Forget the action. I stink at writing action. But that's mostly what this is, and I think that's why I like her so much.
Well, I like how they slip the little clever things in there. You just, it's something where you kind of go back, you read it, and then you're like, wait? And you go back and read it again, and you're like,
Yeah.
That's funny, and then but it's like a subtle.
It's a subtle,
irony.
Very subtle build-up too, until you finally get to that point.
I mean, sometimes I get a little annoyed at the fact that they can make a whole paragraph out of one sentence because then you have to go back and read it a couple times and
what
it's all kind of
split,
and then they
about.
Go back and readdress. And by the time you reach the end of the paragraph, you've covered everything and you pretty much understand, but it's just been split so many times by the time you got there.
I'm interested in seeing the new movie Becoming Jane. is about Jane Austen. That I'm very looks curious.
That looks
that looks really cool. She fascinates me, though. But
have you guys seen the book? I think it was in the Desert Book Fire you had. Is it Austenland? Is that what it's called?
Austenland. I just
that
saw
looks really
that.
That's really interesting. I thought, oh, I want to read that.
Where did that? It's right here.
I think it's in the Desert Book catalog. I thought it was, anyway.
Yeah, Austenland. I just wrote that. It's one of the first couple pages.
Yeah, Shannon Hale.
Shannon Hale is one of my very favorite authors. I love Shannon Hale. Everyone knows that.
It looks really good.
It says, Jane Hay's obsession with Pride and Prejudice is ruining her love life. Will a trip to a resort catering to Austen-crazed women help her kick the obsession?
Oh, gosh. Or,
Wait. Or will she find a Mr. Darcy of her own?
Ooh.
I think I was intrigued by that because, you know, Jane and Counting Stars was like living on the movie thing, too. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I saw that. I put that immediately on
my list. I didn't see that when I flipped through the catalog. I've got enough more I've got to read right away.
It's wonderful. Okay, well, that's all of our recent reads, and we're now 42 minutes into the podcast. So.
Oh, no! We need to hurry and start talking.
Let's start talking about Counting Stars. Now, before we get into specific details, give us a summary of Counting Stars.
Oh, I hate that question.
Just a quick over. I mean, we can read the back if you want. It doesn't matter.
You know what?
Would you like us to read the back? And
you know, the back doesn't quite summarize it.
I don't think so either.
But it's exactly. Just
what does it say in the catalog?
It says the same thing.
Oh, does it?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. It's just too hard. There's too many things in this book to really summarize. Well, people ask me that when
I could summarize it.
Maybe summarize it. I'm really bad at that.
Okay.
But don't give too many details.
Well, no, I'm just
going to
give
away the main
spoilers. I'm just going to say, the main character is Jane. She's turning 30. She's not married. She wants to be married. And
desperately.
Yeah, and she's just hasn't found the right guy. It seems like you date the wrong guy. She's had a relationship, and it didn't work out. And
through an interesting series of events.
Yes,
she ends up.
Yeah. How far do we want me to go into
this? Well, she ends up as... I don't know.
See, the problem with that summary is it sounds like a million other romance novels out there, doesn't it?
But it's not like that. This is so different from any other romance.
Which is one of the things I loved about it.
Regular listeners know how we feel about the cookie cutter romance. That, you know, they have their place and they're all right. But we here at the podcast strive to bring you something different, which is why we're talking about Counting Stars and why I ate this up. When I was supposed to be getting ready for my son's blessing.
And then I borrowed it from Shanda, and I didn't go to bed
and
that
I said,
night.
You have to read this.
I stole it from Sheila. And
I cried 4 or 5 times in this book. It was very good cries, okay? There's, you know, just
not
good
we don't
stuff.
Like you and we'll never read another one of your books kind of cry.
And one of them...
No, that's true.
One of them that I told, that I wrote Michelle about afterwards was the nursing scene that I happened to be nursing my son when he was 5 weeks old at the time. And I read that nursing scene, and I cried, because it was exactly how I felt. And you have a story about that scene that you mentioned to me, that it almost didn't make the cut. Almost wasn't in the book.
It almost wasn't in the book, yes.
And I'm so glad that you were able to convince them
that
you fought
for
that,
that
scene, because I think it's so rare to be able to emotionally connect with books nowadays, that it was really nice to be able to emotionally connect with Jane and with her curiosity and also with Caroline. With how, you know, as a mother, how she felt about it and how do you describe it to somebody else? And she just summed it up wonderfully. You summed it up wonderfully in this book. So
thanks.
It's just a little thing, you know, the little things in books, I find, make the big difference. Because, you know, anyone can pretty much put a plot and a storyline down, but it's in the little details that make a book special to you. And that was
definitely
one of the ways. This book is—it's not your, you know, beginning to end. You meet,
romance.
You have
not
your little romantic conflict, and then there's a resolution. There's other things that happen in there. Now, closer to the end, you know, it gets hairy. I guess you could say, you know, it gets a little hairy. Things kind of are
not about the end yet.
I'm just summarizing. Like, you know, they go through and through this interesting series of events. She is caring for these children, and then a specific someone enters her life, and then things get a little hairy at the end and interesting, and you don't know how it's going to happen, and you're reading because you want to know, and then it ends and you love the book. So is that all right? I don't know. How do you summarize it without
giving any
there's so many little points.
It's about relationships, I think, more than anything else. I mean, it's romance, but it's
all kinds. Friendship,
sisters,
romantic,
parents,
parent,
brothers,
child.
Yeah, exactly. It's about
siblings.
Part of it is between the brothers.
You know, the best part is that Jane is not your typical female heroine.
I like that.
She's not. She's just this typical.
Well, I love her obsession woman with movie just, things. You know, everything relates to like a certain movie.
Oh, I love that too. I've done
when
that
she
a
gets,
lot.
When she gets mad or sad, and she
puts in
the tosses her. So doesn't she want to toss her movie collection?
Oh yeah, after
that
really sad scene. Oh.
I wouldn't have done that though. I read it, I thought I wouldn't throw away my movies. I'd keep them for another time when I need to.
I might have broken
that. That was your breakdown, though.
Yeah. I might have actually.
I would have eaten.
I can be.
Oh, she does. Later. She consumes lots of chocolate.
Yes, that makes her. That endears her to me also.
No, but she's very human. She digs in the dirt for her living. You know, she does landscaping, and she has frizzy hair. She can't control. Mm-hmm. And,
yes,
you know,
that cottage. Yes. It could just totally visualize it. And you're like, oh.
Do you want to hear the story about cottage?
Yes.
I can't tell you how I thought of the story. A lot of people ask me that. In 1999, a long time ago, my husband and I were on a trip in Seattle. He had a business trip there, and I went along with him, and he would go to his conference during the day, and I would sit and write, which was heaven, to be able to write without interruption from my children. And one of the days, he didn't have classes, and so we rented a car and took the ferry over to Bainbridge and drove around the island and everything, and we would drive around the island, and he works for economic development, and is always taking pictures of tree grades and city buildings and, you know, just different landscaping and different things to bring ideas back to the city. Wherever we go, he's always taking pictures of things like that just for ideas. And we found this really beautiful and well-developed kind of little subdivision on a really small, because the island's not huge, but anyway, on Bainbridge, and there was this one cottage that was beautifully landscaped, and it was just, and I remember seeing that and something about it just, I don't know, I just thought, oh, what a beautiful home, and that's just, could you imagine living here and everything, and for some reason, something started churning in my brain, and by the time we finished our tour of the island and took the ferry back to Seattle, I had this whole story in my head. I mean, I knew
based on seeing a cottage?
Yes, I knew that was...
I love that.
Lived in this cottage, and I had the scene of her and Jay on the ferry, and I knew about Mark and Madison and Peter and Paul. I mean, a lot of the details obviously weren't still there. There was a lot to be filled in, but anyway, that was in my head, and I just could hardly wait to start writing it. But I was writing a historical romance at the time, and I make myself finish what I'm writing first. So this was on hold for a couple of years before I finally got to get
set
down and start
writing.
Wow,
that's amazing. That's wonderful.
That is neat.
That is pretty cool. Inspiration.
So that's for whatever reason, I don't know what triggers things. You know, I can't explain anything like that. But
wonderful.
I saw that house, and by the time, you know, a couple hours later that afternoon, as we were taking the ferry back, I was looking at Seattle, and I just had this whole...
There it was.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which was
so
the reason.
I love that
stars.
When it happens. It's such a blessing. I'm so grateful.
That is wonderful.
You know, an artist can see something on a canvas, and, you know,
right.
I'm grateful that I have that ability to imagine like that.
We didn't mention that this was your first published novel.
It is.
So,
it's obviously not your first novel that you've
written. I have a few on the shelf. Lots of rejection letters.
But this is wonderful. I was reading this all the time. This is her first published book?
I know, when
so
Shanda
exciting.
Told me, I'm like,
loved
oh,
it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, first novel.
Oh,
but that
it.
Was,
amazing.
It was not a typical first novel.
I love
in my
that.
Opinion.
This is what I live for.
That is
yeah.
because I have a great critique group, as I was mentioning earlier, with lots of experienced authors in there. And
if I ever write, I want to come to your critique.
Oh, I know.
Exactly.
I'll just follow Jeff around like
that's
a puppy
good.
Dog. He's been writing some really awesome blogs.
Oh, his blogs
instructive
are fantastic.
Blogs and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's a great blessing for you to be able to be in that group with all of
it's
those.
It's huge. I would not be published without them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know,
it
really makes her romance just stand out from everyone else's romance. So many of the romances, they meet, they have a few little problems, and they're all together, everything's fine. And I get so sick of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this because it truly shows, I mean, most of us in our romances, there's problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be problems, whether it's, you know, the kids or something, you know, or just getting together in the first place. I mean, all of you got married young, right? And, you know, to me, I think, oh, it was so easy for you. I dated so many frogs to find my prince that, you know, I can so relate to Jane through this whole thing because I got married later on in life, a little bit younger than what Jane did. But, you know, it just, I could so relate to these feelings of her just wanting to find a nice guy.
Did your family hold a family wide fast for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, they do that?
No.
I'm sure they probably did, but not quite to that extent. But
they didn't let you know about it.
On my wedding day, they went around with a camcorder,
mm-hmm.
and they asked each person what they thought about us getting married. And every single person said the same thing. It's about time.
Oh,
you know, and
no.
It's like, you know, come on, give me a break here.
What's the rush as long as you're finding the right
exactly.
guy?
Exactly.
Right?
But, you know, I just loved how... you know, it's a little bit of work, you know, mm-hmm. and them getting together, and it wasn't an easy thing.
Well, proposal was not, he was not Mr. Romance.
You know? No, he wasn't.
Neither was ours. Lord.
We shook hands after we got proposed. And
what?
It was on
you
the
shook hands? Hands.
Our, my, yeah.
You shook hands?
We shook hands. No, my, I will tell the proposal story some other time. But okay. But no, I love that too because our proposal story is so lame. You know how we got together. But
this is my, so we were sitting there one night and saying how much we loved each other.
Yeah, well,
after
we didn't
we've
even
been
ever say that.
Making out.
Anyway, we had kissed a couple times in the light. We were listening to a soundtrack or something. It was around, it was right at the beginning of the new year. It was like New Year's Day or something like that. And he had, his dad had some Christmas lights and a five kiss tree or something, just white ones for mood or whatever. And we were just sitting there talking, and he told me he loved me so much, and that was just hanging there. Like, you know, we were talking about how much we loved each other. We didn't want to live without each other. And I just looked at him and I said, why don't you ask me already?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Ta-da! Yeah. But we at least kissed after we...
We had never kissed.
Wow.
Period.
Wow.
By the time before... Yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, that's not that way with all my boyfriends. But at least I can have that over my children. Say, I never kissed your father.
No, no, it's not a good thing because I got a lot of crap for that from my dad. So.
No,
and my sister's idolized because she never kissed her
fiance
until they got engaged.
I,
the day they got engaged.
That was
so.
When we finally kissed, but other boys I dated.
No, but see, she didn't kiss anybody up until then.
No.
So there
well,
you go.
My husband
but you know what? That's
kissed,
what I loved about this.
Yeah,
because the romance and just getting them together and... It was work. It was a lot of work.
You know
work.
What, though? He did a lot of it. I remember we, when we got to that point in that first kiss, like I said before, curled my toes. That
very
was good.
Kisses are hard
it
to
is,
write. So
it's hard to write in an LDS fiction book because
there's a lot
there's,
what page
you have
is
to be careful.
On?
I don't know. I didn't memorize the page number. But
surprisingly
that was
enough.
Really good. I, the chapter ended and I went, that was so good. Oh,
okay.
She does
you
such a good
you know what one
job.
Of my favorite scenes
was so refreshing
saw with those two, with
what?
Jane and Peter, when he first saw her. I don't know why.
That was funny.
I love that.
That
when
was
she's
perfect.
She's hauling the swing set in the backyard, and I guess I like that because...
It's real.
It is real.
It was weird that he lived behind
her.
I thought that was kind of funny. But
well,
yeah,
she is capable
she's
of
not
doing all this. And see, a lot of us that stayed single longer had to do things like this on our own.
Well,
you know,
but the in traditional romances, did you find? Don't you find that the heroine tends to be a slightly helpless?
Oh, that's
and she's
right.
Not.
Maybe
she's not.
Maybe
that's
why
I love her.
Evoking
needs
the protection.
You will like the girl in Jay's story then, because she is not helpless either.
Yay!
Might, at the beginning, you kind of think she is, but then, yeah.
Well, right here, you wrote.
We like
Pete had girlfriend. To admit he was impressed by her determination to unload it.
All of the pieces, wanted, you know, even though it was one
well,
piece
at
a time.
Well, in his experience, I wonder if he came across women that were just a little helpless or
well,
acted a little helpless,
you know. Well,
then I think
she's
going to
use her little pink toolkit. That was
kind of
fun.
Yeah,
that
was funny.
Love
it.
That was so good.
She's feminine but capable.
Well,
very
and then
capable.
What you and then
that.
What you have here, new paint job for his Jeep, $1,500, binoculars, $65. Watching your neighbor attempt to build a fort with a pink toolkit, priceless.
I know,
that's
hilarious.
Priceless. No,
that's
just...
No, I like how what the one day, because you know how it's hard in relationships because you're feeling it out, like you don't know how the other person feels, and you know you kind of like the other person, but you don't know exactly how they feel, and you think they might like you, but you don't want to presume anything because it will hurt if they rejected you. And it was interesting when they got to the point where, like, she was focused on the kids. She wasn't really thinking of
herself
so much or relationships. But then he decided that he was going to sit there with he just decided, he's like, you know what, I wonder. Let's just try it. And he kind of took an extra step and went a little extra mile. And
he always didn't do it gracefully, though.
Not gracefully.
No, and I like that, though. I like that he wasn't perfect about
he was
it.
A guy.
He was a guy.
He was a guy.
But he wasn't waiting for the relationship to fall into his lap.
Which was refreshing,
was like,
because
well,
it always seems like
see.
That's what happens. It's like they have a tense moment or something where you suddenly realize they're attracted to each other. And instead, it just kind of happened.
He's just kind of like, well, because
he decided to pursue. I like that. When I was dating or whatever, it was always felt like I was the one that was putting myself out there. So when I met my husband, it was kind of nice because he did most of
he put
himself out there.
Exactly.
And it was so nice to go, oh,
it took us
yay.
2 years to get together to that point. Where
see, it's really nice
it's
to find all three of us kind of had different stories with how we dealt with our husbands, and yet we all relate.
The only thing that what threw me off guard with this book, with your book,
was first I looked at how thick it was, and Shanda kind of briefed me, and I'm like, well, how can she have two romances in one, well, not really
it's not
two
romances,
but,
it's just
but two
stories,
kind of, relationships is the best way to put it. And I was just like, okay, what's this deal with this one guy? Okay, I get that. Okay, and then
Jay's
just
thrown
totally,
in there every once
and then,
in a while.
There's actually three.
There are, aren't there?
Main relationships
mm-hmm.
in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Peter, Paul, and Jay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, because Jay, I forgot about him at the beginning. He threw me off. I was worried about him.
Well, I...
Ooh, near the end, especially.
Effectively, you did it effectively, because I'm like, ooh, is he going to be a stalker?
I thought for sure he was going to be a stalker. I thought it was a mystery, and Shanda didn't tell me.
I like him very much. I'm like, oh, I want you to like him. He's a good guy.
See, I didn't like him, because I was afraid of what he was going to do to her, and the way she was reacting to him.
Because you don't know. You're like, what is...
What's he got to do with...
He's just in here every once in a while, and you're like, okay, what is this leading to? Like...
I thought for sure
you know,
he'd be a stalker.
There's a history, especially with, you know, the kiss and whatever, and you're trying to figure out what...
Where that's leading, and that's what threw me off.
What's going on with that, and like, okay, and then...
But I like it. I like it.
Okay. Do you appreciate honest feedback?
I do.
Okay.
I need it, yeah.
There was one point where I hoped I wouldn't have to put down the book. And it was near the end, and it was when two major events happened that could both have been very tragic. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I was really distraught also.
Please, I love this book so far. Please don't let it go. I don't want it to go. And it was great. You saved it. It was fine. It was good. But there was a chapter there where I was like, oh no, I don't want to not like this book.
No, but my first thought was,
pulled it off.
But
is she going through a depression
or
something?
So if I can say this without spoiling for some other
We usually don't care about spoiling, but this one we don't want to spoil.
When I first, yeah, if you know the ending, it sounds good. When I first, thought of the idea and started writing it, it was going to end differently. But
good or bad?
You would have been mad at me.
Okay.
As I was writing it, I was falling in love with this character and the relationship they had, and I thought, I'm never going to convince without putting another 1,000 pages in between readers that she could change and go to this other person, even though this other person is really good and has...
Right.
Oh, they were both good people.
Yeah,
that's what was hard. It's like... Oh, sorry.
So anyway, so that's why I thought, I can't do that. And so then I thought, but I don't want to have this package deal where everybody's, you know,
all happy.
Yeah,
right.
So I thought, his life is not like that. My
life
is not like
exactly.
that. Nobody else I know doesn't have death and hard times and trials and job loss or just, you know, everyone has really hard things.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, realistically, what else fits in with this story? What other, I mean, I know we've had an already a sad thing, but things are just still too rosy, and so that's why I did another thing that probably made you very upset, and that was hard. I bawled when I wrote that, but I thought, it's not right if something, you know, she has to have, life is not like this, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
There was a part of it that kind of...
So I did change my original plan.
When I reached that part, I was thinking... The first thing that kind of came to my mind was Message from Nom, Daniel Steele. Have you read that?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
That's
have you seen
me too.
The little movie thing they made of it?
No, I haven't seen the movie.
The book's better. Anyway.
Always the case.
And I remember, I read that book like 4 times when I was in high school, and I cried every time. But it just, for right there, that kind of reminded me, it kind of had that tone. And so I was hoping, I was like, oh, please let her be able to pull this off, because I really want to be able to like this book. But it got to the point where I paused. I went, can I finish this? You know, because I'm just like, I kept reading, because I wanted to know, and it's too good for me to put it down and not see how it ended.
I worried about the way I ended it too, though, because... We do have a lot of servicemen and women out there right now who don't come well in this world.
Yeah,
Anyway, the ending is not the happy one that you like, and I thought, I don't want to treat this flippantly or with a lack of respect or lack of seriousness, and, you know, so that was hard. It was hard to decide. When I first, my original plan, I thought, you know, this will be very much in line with what our country's going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and this is dated 2003.
Right.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. But you had enough realistic things happening throughout the book.
I hope that I...
Along
by
with
resolving
Paul,
the way
with cancer,
what you're saying,
you would have got
kind of
a nasty letter from us.
I know. Well, kind of like the book I was telling about from Tristy Pinkson. I'm really liking it, and then
you get to the point.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that to that character. How am I going to finish the book?
But
I'm interested to see how she does that. But
I don't think you could have continued on with Jay the way you did if you didn't have that part. Because seriously, up until that point, I was wondering which way Jay was going to go. I'm like, okay, is he a bad guy or a good guy? What's going on with this? Or is he just in between?
Why is he any guy in here every few chapters?
I know.
And so when we reached that point, you know, and you know, and he was there and involved with all of this. And then just the way it happened. I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking that Jane was on autopilot that whole time. She wasn't really feeling. She wasn't really, you know, she was just kind of getting it done. But she was, I don't know, it was a very difficult part to read, but it was good. Now, it's like good difficult. Does that make sense? I don't know. I was glad that the part that you included with Jay at the end of the book was there because it kind of justified his existence in the book in the first place. Which for a while I was kind of like, okay, what's up with that? Just keep reading. All right, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. My
I'm just glad he wasn't a stalker. Because yeah. I started liking him there towards the end.
I don't know.
He's not that
he felt
weird.
Like one for
he did it first.
Who knows? He could really be one. We haven't read her second
yeah, that's
book.
True. He could. We're very curious. I'm very curious to read your second one to see where he goes. Because now that I liked it, it took me a while to have him grow on me in this book. So. Like
well, he's not
just
really
no
main character.
Where
he's
going.
He's not really main character, but you really get close to Jane and Peter, and even I don't know. It was the first part of the book with Paul. It was just you know. So what is okay? The Scrabble game for reals? Seriously? Oh, I wanted to smack that friend of Jane's. I'm like,
oh no, kidding! Oh my gosh!
Okay, I had to rewrite that scene like 5 million times.
You did?
It was much funnier and much more play on the actual words. I sat there with a Scrabble game next to my computer, doing the words exactly right so that it was real, mm-hmm. the points and everything when I was doing it. And the first version was much funnier and unfortunately much too on the edge for Covenant. So I had to redo it. But yes,
he's darn.
Yeah,
I know that friend of hers
like,
drove me crazy.
It's hard because you know you feel a little tight inside with your tummy, like watching somebody you know and care about do something
really
stupid. And you're
but
like,
you
oh, please don't fall through
do
constantly.
It.
I've done it so many times.
Hey, Tara actually is going to have her own story too.
Is she?
Really?
Oh, good.
I'm calling it right now. I don't know if the title will stay, but I'm calling it My Lucky Stars. All the four books in the series will have the stars somewhere in the title.
Good.
Oh, really?
And that'll probably be the very last book just because she's obviously going to have to change her life. And I don't want to have two books where people change their life.
Okay, so
right
Jay's
the
second. Who's the third?
Caroline.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, good.
So,
ooh, that
I
just
like
gave me
her.
Tingles.
Anyway,
I just thought, okay, what's going
to
come
Tara is going to, Tara, it starts out in the, you know, last year, the Denver snow in the airport,
mm-hmm.
and she's on a plane,
mm-hmm.
she's flying from L.A., she lives in L.A. now, she's flying to Denver to be with her spa friends over Christmas break to do the spa thing, and her plane is rerouted to Salt Lake. There is going to be a brief part in Utah. I swear I didn't write my book in Utah, but I will. So, anyway, circumstances are going to be one thing leads to another, and she ends up without her wallet and all those other things, and anyway, she's going to get a ride with this, you know, nice LDS guy and stuff, but he's going to take over to Denver because he and his family are driving there for Christmas. They hate each other's guts. She is like the pampered princess, and he is like the down-home farm boy. He's actually a pig farmer in Ohio. So, anyway, so it's
I can see
him with
Tara.
What is the polar opposite of Tara here? Anyway, so she ends up going back to L.A. and realizing life is not what she, you know, just how empty it is, and then she's going to show up on Jane's doorstep and say, you know, I met this guy and I want to be a member of the church. And she's going to be like, well, that's not why you joined the church, you know? And
exactly.
So, anyway,
sounds
it'd be really
very
fun.
Good.
Just the whole changing some of the things I've done already, changing her wardrobe and things like that, you know?
Yeah,
so
her wardrobe was a little
very
out there.
Yeah,
yeah,
just to, you know, the whole head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Jane's niece, Jessica, actually teaches that to her. Have you guys heard that, the young woman thing? If you touch your head and your belly's showing, then your shirt's too short.
Oh.
Shoulders shouldn't be bare. You shouldn't feel skinny when you touch them. Your skirt should be your knees, and if you bend over and touch your toes, standing in the back, then it's too short. Anyway, that's a little modesty thing. So Jessica teaches Tara
that.
And basically every
down.
Single
that's
thing
good.
In Tara's wardrobe has to go in that scene. It's really, really fun. Tara's bawling and having a fit, and it's going to be very, very fun. But that's a long, long time away.
That's
I'm afraid that's
a
few years away. But anyway, Tara
well, hopefully
is a
we'll
fun
be
character.
Seeing you when that one comes out, too.
That'd be great. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, before that, it'll be Jay's story and then Caroline's story, I hope.
Okay, you know, Caroline's story has me intrigued because she's married and has children.
I'm worried. When she said that, I just got all tingly.
I'm going to put I'm going to start doing excerpts on my blog's last website, which is very plain and everything, but I'm just not very tech savvy. So, but I'm going to start putting
it's
excerpts.
About what you write.
I'm going to put on, and I'm going to put an excerpt of that on pretty soon.
Okay. Because I hope nothing.
It's. I've got a really good quote at the beginning about how the best love stories are. People say the best love stories are found, you know, before you get married when you're young and everything, but in reality they're after you say the vows. And I can't remember, I'm not saying the quote right, it's a great quote, but
mm-hmm.
anyway, so it's about her and her husband Ryan, And
oh,
they kind of midlife crisis.
Oh, I see.
That's a real stressful thing. But it's still a romance. I know.
That will be
pull
good.
It off as a romance.
I can see you doing that after everything that happened during this book.
That'll be unique, too, because there's not too many out there. We read one that was kind of like that.
Well, I just think, is it Karen and Scott? Is that?
No, Karen and Scott's the
other
couple.
Karen and Scott.
And he's in that.
I was just wondering if that was the couple. Karen and Scott. That I want to smack you. So
I know
that
I
she
like,
puts up with that man.
Well, okay, I love sports, but hello.
The reason why we relate and why that brings out such a reaction for us is because we all know somebody who has made that kind of choice in their marriage, and they don't like it, but they won't do anything about it.
Yeah,
she's going.
I know. It's so funny. In Jay's story, we don't see a lot of Jay and her family because he's not around.
He's not out in her life.
Caroline's, obviously, we will see quite a bit of them. And one scene that I've written on that one already is Thanksgiving again. I had to go back to
the Thanksgiving was hilarious.
That was the best.
That was fun.
That was one of the funnest Thanksgivings I've read in a very long time. That's a fun scene.
And you know how they go around and they all do their little
thing?
Yes. Well, of course, Scott's not there. He's watching a sports game or something.
Of course.
But Karen
Not like when they're chatting their childhood memories.
But there's a football game that's pretty good.
Of course.
So, Caroline gives her husband a black eye. I guess I shouldn't say that. But
that's good.
You had to say that just as I was taking the drink.
Anyway, her story is going to be really, really fun to write.
She's a great character.
Karen says to everybody, her thing she's thankful for that year is that Scott has been called to be a member of the bishopric, and everyone's like, why are you thankful for that? He'd never be home. And she says, but the stake president made him promise to give up Sunday sports, and he promised he'd do it. So, okay, so there are going to be a little side kind of storyline.
That's funny. I'm glad we won't.
But that's a
I'm glad we'll be revisiting them.
They're a while out, a couple books out.
As frustrating as he is, it's kind of funny. But we
are real people.
Know people like that.
Realistic characters.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sold.
I
can't wait.
I'm looking forward to this.
Can 2010 get here fast enough? I mean, I want to read about Caroline, and I want to read about Tara.
I know.
These are characters. It's great that you can feel so close to these characters. Do you have a favorite character you enjoyed the most, writing about the most?
I don't know. I'm really liking Jay right now. Probably still working on his story. But
what was your favorite part of the book? And your favorite character, favorite part.
One of the scenes I had to cut. No, we won't talk about that.
I think you already told us that.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I just like a really good. I love a romance that makes you feel good, makes you go find your husband and give him a hug and remember why you fell in love with him in the first place.
Even if you're the one that wrote it.
So yeah,
that's
so
great.
I read her book over my anniversary weekend. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't read the book the whole time.
Yeah, based on your proposal.
After, in the car, I was reading it when we were driving around.
I can't read the car.
I always read in the car.
I do too. Me
too. It's just constant. But there's something, when there's that bad proposal near the end of the book and wanting to marry for the insurance.
Oh, I couldn't believe that. She sobs and
she says, marriage isn't about insurance. It's about sharing friendship and faith and about life-altering love. And to read that over your anniversary, it just almost made me cry because, it's just, it's true. It is. It's about, sharing all of that and the stuff that they go through. I feel bad for Peter. I laughed too, just because of our interesting proposal.
But it's not about the proposal.
No,
it's
so true. But it's not like
the movie The Bachelor or something like that. Chris,
so bad.
That is so bad.
Every
That's
time
a bad
it, I know that is a bad proposal, but
sorry.
But she really. I mean, you just really hit to the core of really what marriage should be about. You want it to all be about romance and flowers and all of that, but it really
there's
is.
A place for that.
If there is,
like
but not
a proposal
constantly.
Though.
Insurance, I still.
I know.
You guys want to hear really quick my proposal story? You'll laugh.
Let's hear it. I think we should all tell our proposal stories.
You already know mine.
My husband had just gotten back from his mission, and we were on our first date since he'd come home. And
I had to drive. You were waiting for him then.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, that's another story. Anyway, I was very interested in him and that whole thing I've been writing very seriously. But we went to a singles, we lived in Northern California, and we went to go to a singles dance, I think it was in Hillsburg. and I had to drive because he didn't have insurance. His parents hadn't put him back on the insurance yet. So, and we go to this dance, and it's just this lame, beyond lame. It's just terrible. Terrible music. No one's there. I mean, it's just people that are, like, you know, approaching our parents' ages. I mean, it's just, oh, no. I'm not with that. So we're driving home. We're on the freeway, and Dixon turns to me and says, I don't think I want to be single, if that's what being single's like. Let's get married. So, that's my proposal right there. So.
And did you say yes right away, or did you say...
Gotta do better than that?
No, I did. We went and woke up our parents and told them he'd been home a day. Keep this in mind. I went to his mission report to take president with him the next day, and he said, this is my fiance. But no, later,
oh my word.
Later, about a month later, when he got me the ring, he took me out, and we had this romantic picnic and everything, and he gave me the ring. So that was, you know...
That makes up for it, okay.
But anyway, that was kind of funny. It was like...
No, we didn't get around until 5 minutes. That's great.
I never thought I'd hear another one so closely.
But yeah, I have the best marriage. My husband is so romantic and so good to me. So, you know, the proposal is not the whole story.
And you just had your anniversary on the same day as
we did. Yes, 19 years.
Yeah.
I think my husband was a little disappointed that he didn't get to propose to me the way he thought he would propose to them.
I don't think most of them.
The feeling is so strong right there that, and I'm just an impatient person. Okay, you know, and it was hard to wait for our wedding because we had no money and we had to pay for our own wedding. And so we had to do a lot of things. We had the, you know, the traditional cultural hall.
So did I.
Reception.
So did I.
When I'm ready for something, I want to, you know, that's why I get impatient sometimes with reading books where things kind of drag out. And that's why I liked how once the romance was going, it was. You know, we didn't have to deal with all of that back and forth stuff the petty back and forth stuff that you read in a lot of other romances. I think that the balance was found.
It was
you
a good
the balance here. I don't know. Anyway, so that's just my opinion, but I were going somewhere with that. But
oh, I was waiting for her.
I wasn't ready to wait for the ring to be engaged.
Hillary, Kay, Hillary, give us your story. Right. We met on a mostly blind date. So, and
why
then
was it a mostly blind date?
Because I knew about him, but I hadn't met him.
Okay.
And then I met him, and that's a whole other story too of how that all happened. But
the mostly blind date.
And yes, and then we went out like 2 weeks later on that date, and we got engaged 3 weeks later. And he took me. He's like, "Where's your favorite place in Salt Lake?" And it's like I knew where he was going with this. You know how you can just kind of like, "Oh, okay, I know where this is going." I'm like, Salt Lake Temple, of course.
No.
So we drove. It was back before the conference center was built, so it was the store that was across the street.
Oh, it was the quilt, the craft
heritage
one.
Something. Yeah, craft something. Yeah. Anyway, Mormon Handicraft. That's
Mormon
it.
Handicraft. Yep.
And we parked up there, and we just talked until like 3 a.m. We didn't just sit in there chatting, looking at the temple, and then he pulled out the ring and says, "Will you?"
She did.
Will you?
That's
he
awesome.
Says, "Will you?" Yeah. And I'm like,
"Will you?"
I'm like.
Did he choke on the rest or something?
Well, no, he just pulls it out and holds the ring and just says, "Will ya?" And it's like, all right. I think I can agree to that. So,
yeah, it's interesting how it can go fast.
So not
sometimes.
Terribly romantic, but how still.
So there's an example of going fast. Mm-hmm. Mine is the example.
I mean, mine was very fast.
So slow.
But we had a 9-month engagement, though. So because I was in college. I was in Wyoming going
I still
to school.
Have
so.
I still have you beat.
Yes, you do.
My husband
6 weeks dating
engaged.
And then 9 months of an engagement. Though.
See, he kissed me the middle of December, I guess. Or we held hands like the middle of December or something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, then we kissed shortly after, and then we were engaged New Year's night. So it was like 3 weeks, maybe.
How long were you engaged, Michelle?
And I've known him since November. So
yeah.
It was
3 months.
We were
less than three.
But we had known each other for 4 years.
So there you go. So you have
two years of letter writing, 2 years of dating.
So see, you had a good amount of time also.
You did it bad. You did it both ways. Slow, then fast.
Yeah.
And you did it fast in the right place, too.
Yeah, it was a 9-month engagement for us too, and that was torture.
It was hard. Well, being in Wyoming,
just
I wouldn't want to be engaged.
It was so hard. I just wanted to get it over with and get on
not
with my
good,
life.
Not see, ours thing. Was hard because, well, you want to be with them, and I'm 300
okay.
miles away. And
yeah. I don't know how many listeners relate to us. I'm sure.
Well, I haven't told my story yet.
I thought you did.
Oh, heavens!
Oh, go
no.
ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't let me stop you.
Go ahead.
Don't let me stop you.
You
I'm
haven't
sorry.
Heard. That's why I was laughing at Michelle because, like, mine happened on a highway, freeway. Also,
go ahead.
So I just
give us details.
Okay, we met in a singles ward. I'll do the quick version. Met in a singles ward. Oh, did the whole singles ward experience. We dated for a few months, then we quit dating, and then we were just friends for about a year and a half. Then we started dating again. That time it was a lot more serious, but we still hadn't kissed that whole time we dated over, you know, on and off the 2 years. And I was going to take him up to my parents because I got tired of making the drive up to Idaho by myself. And my friend that I taught with told me, she says, I will personally beat you to a pulp if you come back here and you haven't kissed him by after you get home from this weekend. And I'm going, how am I going to do this? You know, because he's just a little bit shy and everything. And so,
yeah, but 2 years, come on.
I know. And the song Passionate Kisses came on the radio. This is on I-15 from Utah.
Oh.
I know, this is so good. And I'm driving and the song comes on. And I kind of look over and said, boy, I'd like some passionate kisses.
You said that to him?
I was under pressure.
Oh,
I told you this is
that's a song too.
Under pressure. I was under a lot of pressure. And the next 2 hours left on the way up to Idaho, we got talking about life and about marriage and about kids. And basically, it was almost our exit to Blackfoot, Idaho. And I turned to him and he turned to me and I says, okay, so does this mean that we're engaged? And he says, I think so. And we shake hands. And then my car died on the way, on the exit. That we had to take my car died, my little Chevy Beretta. And we turned to each other, we just look at each other and start laughing. And
the rest is history?
And the rest basically is history.
Oh,
but
my
funny
did he at least kiss you with the car died?
No, we didn't kiss till later that night.
But you were able to tell your friend that not only did you kiss him, but you got engaged.
I did. I came back. I was able to say that we came back, we got engaged, he kissed me, we got engaged. But it was about a few weeks later, he let me go pick out my ring, and then we did the official proposal thing. But,
that ring?
Yeah, that ring. That's the ring.
I can't wait to wear my ring again.
But
I can get
it over. So see, it was another highway scene.
Another engagement. You could base a whole story on that.
That's what I told her. I said I could really write a story on
and
my
ring. I was just thinking, as you were saying this, I could do like a guy or girl that listens to the music instead of the books, you know? She writes everything to the song she hears.
Seriously.
Yes, I mean, that'd be funny, too.
You have my permission to use that, Danny.
I'll stick it in the back of my file.
That's hilarious. Sheila, I never knew that. That is so funny.
Seriously, when people talk about lame engagement stories, ours is probably one of the
most
lame.
I think yours is hilarious. I think it's hilarious.
I've never heard of that before.
I bet that people
didn't know
who
what
have
she was driving. She couldn't kiss him. She was driving.
Oh, that's true.
She could have when the car died, though. Come on.
We had to call my parents. Will you come and get
us? Hey, I can top that, though. We did not have a car when we got married. We were dirt poor. I had just finished a semester at BYU Hawaii. He was home for a mission. We barely scraped together money for rings and stuff in the summer. My parents, the day after we got married, they drove us back to BYU in their van.
That is good.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was my
you had a bike between the two of you?
It was a mission bike. You can ride it. That was one of the handlebars.
You need a sidecar for that bike.
Eventually, I got a bike, too, but we have a lot of poverty and UAE stories.
So funny. You know what? You could have people coming onto the forum now and sharing their
engagement
stories. That's how you
that
get an entry,
fun.
You guys. We've told
there
you ours.
I like to have people that email and say, okay, you got rid of the scrapbook, now stop with the engagement.
this was
we're
so
sorry.
Funny.
What was that guy's name? We're sorry.
Brian.
Yeah.
Brian. No, I would like to know if Brian's married, what his engagement story is.
Yeah, let's hear
Brian.
It.
Come
There's
on.
Your challenge. Your
entry. We'd love to hear your engagement story.
I think it goes along with the book.
I think
it
does.
It's a fair engagement.
It's kind of a funny story.
We need to let Brian know that we really do like him. We're not picking on him at all.
We just like you. You're our number one fan.
Yeah, we really do like you. We only tease people we care about.
That's
right.
True. I do it constantly with Shannon.
Oh, you must really love me then.
I do.
Oh, he's picking up.
I already know how much Hillary loves me.
Yeah, she didn't even have to ask.
20 years of friendship.
20 years.
Anyway, so yeah, now that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted by that, but as we've already pretty much talked about the memorable moments and the favorite and least favorite
And the
parts.
Problem is we can't get into a lot of this because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
And there's some good, we don't want to, the spoilers are good.
Yeah, and
they're
constant
really
throughout the whole story.
So you told us a little bit about, you know, you had a lot of rejections you mentioned before for this book, which I'm not mentioning that in a bad way.
No,
but
great.
About you were expressing your frustration in trying to get this book published, but yet with the help of your critique group and fighting for the scenes that you liked, you were able to get this published in a somewhat satisfactory to your satisfaction.
Yeah.
Through Covenant, and
there are some scenes I miss, but mostly I'm happy with it. Yes, Covenant's been very good to me.
Well, we're really happy with it too. Although I wouldn't mind reading that original manuscript.
I know we're all
we'd really like to read it.
We're very curious.
Anyway, so this it was a kind of a little bit of a long road for you. I mean, does it seem?
It's been 7 years ago that I joined the critique I'm in now. So
does it feel good to be here?
This only took me about a year to write, and then it took about another year to get. A year to write, a year of rejections, and then a year of going through the process with Covenant.
Wow.
So.
That's a long process.
That's not bad, though. I mean,
no, that seems long to me, but...
I think that's great persistence, because I think I probably would have given up.
I was going to say, I would have given up, though.
You know, though, if, you want, tempted? If you want to write, if it's just... I think writers are a little bit kind of scary sometimes, when psychotic, because we have these voices and these people and these scenes mm-hmm. walking around our head all the time. You know, mm-hmm. last night I was on the bus home from youth conference. We were driving home from Castledale, and the stars were gorgeous. They were just beautiful. I love stars. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the big bus windows. I was sitting there, you know, looking out at the windows and the Milky Way and everything as we were driving home. And I was just having this whole scene with Sarah, the girl that's in the next book to read. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was just great. I was just able to sit there and think about that. And because she has a scene where she's on a bus, too, and I mm-hmm. thought, I should make it night. I hadn't made it night before, but I should. And think about some things that have happened in the book before. And anyway, I don't know if I don't think I could not write. And so... As long as you're...
Well, that's great.
As long as you have to do that, you might as well try to get it published, I guess.
That's true. Yep. That's true. I admire your persistence, though, because, I mean, it would be hard not to take at least the first few personally. The first few rejections.
But you have to be able to have stronger, tougher skin than that.
You do. You grow it. And I like to tell the story of the first time I went to the critique group. I met Annette Lyon through the... not story makers, but the League of Utah Writers. Mm-hmm. And she read some of my stuff, which was atrocious, truly bad, atrocious. Like that book you were talking about in your last podcast, that typical historical romance with, you know, all the cliches, that was this
one. Yeah, all the cliches.
But for whatever reason, Annette saw some shred of potential, and even though she gave it back to me, it was just like blood red everywhere. And she invited me to come try out this critique group that had an opening, and I went, and I don't know why they didn't just say, okay, you're not even in our league, just go away. For whatever reason, they let me stay.
I know, I'm like, hello.
And anyway, but another woman in our group, Stephanie, who's a great writer also, she, you know, I brought my, you bring a chapter, and everyone reads the same chapter, and they mark on it as you read out loud.
Oh, wow.
And
that would be hard for me.
It was. I was kind of nervous, but I thought, you know, of course, I thought this was a brilliant piece of writing, and they were all just going to be floored. Well, they were all floored, all right. So. But Stephanie looked at me, and she said, I don't know where your story begins, but it isn't here. Take this home, throw it away, and start again.
So it was
that was
the
very, no, that wasn't coming.
Oh, that was your other.
Another one. Okay. I've written a few books. Anyway, but that was like, you know? Mm-hmm. And Annette called me later to see if I was okay or if I was like getting an accident on the freeway driving home because I was bawling or anything. And I said, no, I'm okay. But it took me a couple years to understand what she meant. And she was right on. That first chapter never would have sold. It wasn't gripping. First mm-hmm. chapters have to be just, you know.
They have to grab you.
Yeah. I don't know. Criticism is good. I think it's, mm-hmm. it's not, it's hard sometimes when it comes from an agent because you're frustrated they haven't given you a chance. When mm-hmm. it's coming from a critique group, you know, you're all in it. You're not trying to be mean. You're going to help each other's writing be the best it can be. So it's, that I don't mind. I'm grateful for it. And a lot of times I go and I think, I know this chapter has problems. Thank goodness they're going to help me fix it.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Where so, it becomes a tool instead of something
it is
to fear. For
yeah. So as far as the rejections, though, those are frustrating, but that's just
part and parcel.
Yeah. So, and this was the first thing I submitted to Covenant and it was accepted. So
that's
amazing.
Wonderful.
I was fortunate.
Seriously.
But it was rejected by virtually every national LDS, or not LDS, every national, it wasn't LDS at the time I adapted it, I told you that. Mm-hmm. But every national romance agent that I could locate
was rejected.
Probably,
yeah,
probably
Kavanaugh,
because you didn't
so.
Have graphic.
Exactly, I was just going to say the same.
No, I got a lot of things, you know, sex sells and da da da. So. But that's okay. I'm glad I'm here.
Well,
I'm
it doesn't sell to us.
Covenant. It's been a lot of fun. So.
We might be a smaller market, but we're a very appreciative market.
It's okay. And you know, I think it's good. I always had this big national market dream, and I still do. But I think now with my kids, the ages they are, and all the things going on in my life, and how busy this has kept me,
mm-hmm.
I think Heavenly Father knew what He was doing. He knew mm-hmm. I could not handle that right now. I don't handle a lot of things well, and so He probably knew, you'll be doing good to manage this and your home.
But you know that there's always that future that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have a Twilight
someday. Yeah, that would be great. I know, but I think, can you imagine, have you seen her book tour online? Stephanie Meyer's book tour?
Is it everywhere?
I did see her website.
It's all over the country. And I'm like, you have three little boys. I would hate that. I really would hate that.
Yeah, that would be hard.
That would be hard. I can't imagine that.
Yeah. And when is she going to have time to write? So that would be, I'm glad I'm not her. Even
well, I don't even.
Everybody.
I'm just trying to read and keep my house in order.
Oh,
and
amen.
Read and write and keep your house in order and take care of little kids. It's just, there. I've learned definitely there's a time and place for everything. And this was a time and place for you. I'm really glad that you were willing to come and
thank you for having me.
With us here on the podcast. I'm going to ask this question, these questions, even though I know we already know the answers. But,
yes.
Would you read it again?
Yes, most definitely.
Yes.
Would you
yes, of course.
Buy it?
Yes.
I bought it.
I haven't yet.
Is
but
it
I have
a
good reason.
Keeper?
Yes.
Like, would
yes.
you definitely keep it in
Absolutely.
Your last? If you had to get rid of half your books, would this be one
yes.
of those?
Yeah, it would actually. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those books I've been recommending to everybody, even strangers.
Thank you.
I am serious. I've been recommended it to my family members.
And that's
that
coming
also
a lot from
strangers.
She. Like, if she's our sci-fi girl, our
I know you keep saying that, but I love a good romance. And this is a good romance, too.
I like romances
it's realistic.
That are different.
It's realistic.
Different, and I like it.
I don't like squishy romances.
But I don't want it to be
realistic.
So realistic that it's like, yeah, I lived this. I don't really want to.
Well, I have.
And that well, I think that gives it a nice
feel. I have. I didn't get married at 19. I got married
right.
at 28. So this was my reality.
But what I mean, there's enough, you know, little toe curling and. And also some things you're like, oh, good.
No,
try.
This
is
good.
You, know,
you did an excellent job.
I have been surprised by the number of emails I've had people saying that your book made me cry. That
really?
Is, that has absolutely floored me, yes.
Oh,
I love
serious?
It. Seriously, I'm
yeah,
not a crier.
Oh, wow.
I don't cry
no.
easily.
See,
so if you make
time,
me cry.
So I was unobservant.
No, you know what? You have to hit me in just the right spot. But I think I still would have cried at least with Mark. I would have cried.
That
so,
was hard.
That was hard.
Yeah.
I cried.
I've lived that
the,
too, so that was sad.
I know, that's why when I gave it to Sheila, I said, have a box of Kleenex. It will make you cry.
No.
But anyway, so that's Counting Stars.
I am
we haven't
so
given
looking
you
forward to your next book.
We haven't
this
given you
so
very
wonderful.
Much information, but hopefully it's enough to intrigue you to go out and buy Counting Stars, because trust me, you'll want to own it.
Yes,
don't
you will.
Don't wait for it at the library. You want to
you'll
buy it.
You'll be
this
number 590-something if you wait for that, too.
You're going to want to write your name in it. Because when you want to make sure that the people you loan it to,
they give it back to
you. It belongs to. Because
right.
you'll want it back.
Seriously. Yeah.
And then they'll want to go out and buy their own copy.
That is true.
Anyway, congratulations on the
Thank
publish
you.
The public the publishing of your first novel, I guess.
Is when that, is your next
is that proper grammar?
Kind what is the time frame for Jay's story coming out?
I don't know.
Have you finished writing it yet?
Okay.
So
it's all in my head, though, so it's okay. I know exactly what's going to happen. It's just a matter of finding the time. And school starts in a couple weeks.
Exactly.
And my time increases exponentially. I'm hoping, well, they said about a year. They said usually with a new author, they like to have you be about a year in between. And they have so many good authors and only so many slots.
Mm-hmm.
And they also like to see how well your first one does. If they want to keep publishing you.
Right.
They better keep publishing you because we're doing our part.
Thank you.
We're doing our part.
I would love to have it be next spring. I would love to. Like,
that's
I had a
great.
Father's Day release this time. It was kind of weird on Father's Day to be out here by a romance for your dad. Maybe Mother's Day would be really good.
Yeah.
June hasn't been bad, though. I mean, it's been, a lot of people like to read in the summer.
It would be great
exactly.
in April, because then we could, you know, we could get the word out a little more.
Right, so, I don't know. My goals are turning in October.
Okay, great.
So, I'm crossing fingers that I will get that done, and that also it will, you know, it will do okay. So, hopefully.
Wonderful.
We
can't
well,
wait.
We look forward to it.
Keep us updated.
Definitely.
Yep, this was it was wonderful to read a romance that was, I don't know, worthy of mention. Not that romances are horrible, but the ones that, are, like I said, we like to bring something different, something new, and we did it. So, just remember to visit us at LDSWomensBookReview.com. And visit our blog. You can make comments on our blog. You can reach us at Shanda or Sheila or Hillary at LDSWomensBookReview.com. And we remember we're reading Peter and the Starcatchers and Peter and the Shadow Thieves next month. And if all goes well, we may do it in two separate podcasts. But if we can't, then we'll just do it in one like we have been. Anyway, watch for changes on the website. And we will see you next time in episode 15. All right. Thanks for joining us here.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.